Topic of today's talk is exertion or trying. That word, exertion, trying to do something, trying to accomplish something, some kind of a goal or some kind of idea of what you're trying to do, and you know, you keep not getting it done or not doing it. So in the Buddhist tradition, in the Tibetan tradition, it's called sandru. In the Indian tradition, Japanese, Chinese tradition uses the Sanskrit word virya. And it is a transcendent paramita, one of the six paramitas. It is transcendent in that, insofar as you can, and so insofar as your practice, you understand it through your practice, you're actually doing that for the benefit of others. So quite often what gets in the way, what disturbs, distresses, and creates circularity in your energy, I'm sure you've noticed that when you try to do something, it's like you're going on a circle, you're right back to trying to do it again, and not much has been accomplished. And if you're a conventional way, of course, is just to pull, push, exert yourself, is it shoulder to the wheel? Now, how well does that work? You can see how hard I'm trying to give this talk. So the way it looks over here is every person, each person has to find the way in which they are failing at that, or dropping away from the thing that they are aspiring to do, whether it's just an everyday thing like get your car vacuumed out, or which shows up in different ways, dishes done and so on, look for a job, quit a job, get out of a relationship, get into a relationship. You know, it shows up everywhere. It's constant. And if you're not a meditator, if you don't have a regular ongoing awareness practice, you'll try to do this with your mind. You'll try to think your way into success. And one of the ways we do that is we chatter at ourselves. I shouldn't do that. I should. I need to do this. I should do that. I need to make a list. Now I need to look at the damn list. Now I need to check off what's on the list. And then we forget where we put our list. You know, it's just circular. It's just, and that's why it's so damn frustrating to accomplish something that there's some kind of resistance. So what am I saying here? You need to look at the resistance. You don't have to look at the levers and buttons to get it done. You already know where those are at. Instead of just continuing to try to start something that has a dead battery. That's just a metaphor for how we tend to work with we tend to push on ourselves and try to cram ourselves into things when there's too many other things that have been uninspected, unobserved, that we're ignoring, that are actually we're dragging our feet, our invisible feet. Something's dragging its feet. But it seems that if you have a strong awareness practice, strong where you're practicing and you're strengthening the witnessing, seeing part of your awareness, which is the part that sees what's happening without judgment. As soon as there's judgment, as soon as you judge yourself, even in the slightest, you know, it doesn't take much. Here you are looking at what you need to look at, but if you murmur to yourself, there I go again. This is what happens to your awareness. There I go again. As soon as you accuse yourself or take your this little mini inventory, don't do it. And how do you don't do it? Maybe obvious to you, but you do it by seeing, you stop doing it by seeing the way you're doing it. If you interfere with commentary or judgment or evaluation about yourself on whatever that is, then you won't see the whole situation so that you can see how that's actually operating. You won't see the way in which you're shutting down, the way in which you're, you know, the next thing is, I'm lazy, or I can't get this done, or what am I doing? Why can't I accomplish this? The why questions are circular. I'll say it again. The why questions about anything are circular. It's not that there isn't something to them that might help you, but not near as much there as a what question. What is it? Because what doesn't go in circles? What goes what? What is that? What's happening there? And in this way, if your sitting practice, if your awareness practice is strong, then you will be able to see the way these tiny little self-deceptions are happening so that you don't have to look at things that you'd rather cover up and not look at, things about yourself. As I said earlier in the meditation instruction, we can't see our self-deception. We can't see the way we're stringing ourselves along. Question? Yes, Sheldon.
We need to look at...
Huh?
We need to look at how...
You need to look at the whole thing. You need to look at... If you even have such a question, like, I'm trying to do this, why can't I get this done? We have the why question. Well, ask a couple why questions, but don't continue to why yourself to death, because you might as well be on one of those little merry-go-rounds that you push with your foot. just if there's the feeling of movement, there's air, the scenery changes a little bit, and there's that, and we use that to let ourselves off the hook, so to speak, for the very thing that we really need to get what sincere and serious about. Question:
if we keep asking why, is it what are we going to do about it?
Well,
why can't I do this? Why can't?
Well, a couple of whys are workable. You
and
need
then
to ask.
What are you going to do about that? What?
Not exactly, but that's not too bad. But what I'm pointing at is why is this happening? And then you can come up with any kind of response. But once you get the response, then go to what? What is that? When I say what is it, go into the actual nature of that. Beyond, here's your concept about things, your naming of everything, laziness, don't have enough time, busy with too many other things, no explanations, excuses, if you want to call them that. And so what, if you say what, then you're at, this is the state of the attitude that you need to take towards the issue. It's not one of stress and pushing. That just keeps the, because the stress and the pushing is all misaligned. It's not aligned with the actual issue. It's aligned with your dissatisfaction with the issue. So it's aligned with your frustration, your suffering over it. But when you say what, everything stops because you're not going to get a response to what. So when you, one moment, when you look at that, everything stops, and that's when you have the awareness, the realization that you don't know what that, you don't actually, you haven't really, that's when you begin to look at it. It's kind of like a detective. Then you realize that you really haven't looked at the room in which the crime was committed. You've come in and you said, you go back out on the porch and look at the sky and think it's a murder, but it could have been a robbery. Maybe somebody embezzled somebody. I mean, I'm being silly, but I'm just saying, the why question goes right into speculation. Here's what you're looking at. Here's what you're trying to accomplish, and here is your trajectory. You're going towards it, and then something wanders off. And what fuels the wandering off? I'm gonna help you. I'm going to help you here by saying that what happens is you start chattering to yourself about it. You start, and the chatter about it, the evaluation, the blaming of someone else, the blaming of yourself, the blaming of I don't keep a list, the blaming, that fills up the space that where the actual investigation or seeing of what the situation fundamentally is takes place. Question. Sir?
What is that? Trajectory. What is that?
The path that doesn't go in a circle?
Yes.
That's the path of awareness, and that's the only thing I teach here. That's what the Buddha taught, which is this dead piece of wood here represents. A guy who lived 2,500 years ago who said a few things about the nature of reality, the nature of the human mind, and the nature of the world. And it's, of course, there's all kinds of people who have got on board with this, and there are traditions that are right and wrong, and do it this way, don't do it that way. That's the wrong way to meditate. This is the right way to meditate. And I'm just saying, very simply, my understanding is sit down and see what it is, and you will see a self-deception, probably. And it's not about correcting that. If you correct it, you're right back into circles again. Most of the world is trying to correct the other thing. Most people you talk to, I don't care how many certificates they have on their wall, will tell you, give you advice. And they rarely will someone say, find out what that is. They'll tell you, well, you've got this, you need this meditation or medication, you need, and you know, give you lots of things based on their own confusion. Yes, sir?
Do you need the why to get to the what?
Yes, that's what I said. You need a couple of whys. Even the Buddha said, he looked around and saw someone who was ill, who was sick, someone who was saw a corpse, and saw someone who was really, really old, and so he saw a monk. Those are the four things that he saw: sickness, aging, and death, and the path. The path to what? To clarity, understanding, liberation, whatever. So he saw the impermanence of that, and so he said, why is there this situation? And it's because of desire or people wanting things to be different than they are. Nothing wrong with that, but it needs to be seen. And so when we see that, then if we're so inspired, maybe not, maybe we're thinking, oh, so what? I'm busy. I need to make money. I've got to feed my family. I need to paint the roof. It seems that the chatter that we load up in there gives us some respite or some satisfaction, because at least we feel like it gives us the illusion we're doing something about it. But what we're really doing is we're just filling up our awareness with a lot of commentary, a lot of elaborations, a lot of opinions, a lot of internal conversations about this and about that, rather than just, it's like meditation is like saying to all of these voices in your mind, sit down and they're not going to, you might have to do it a lot before things are going to become quiet. It depends on your particular karma. Depends on the causes and how you were raised. There's so many things, so many causes and conditions, you can't possibly trace them all. Even though Freud tried, E.G. Jung tried, Alfred Adler tried, all kinds of psychologists and people down through the centuries, including religious figures, tried to explain that in order to help people. What I say is you need to find out. Yes, sir?
When we say, this is what I should do, what does that really do?
Well, it would depend. It would depend on so many elaborations around that. Like you could say, I don't meditate enough. If you're a meditator, say, I don't meditate enough. I want to meditate more. Well, what I often say to people, schedule yourself and then see the way you don't stick to it. It's not about sticking to a schedule. I'll say that again. It's not about sticking to a schedule. It's about seeing being aware of what your relationship is to any kind of a structure you set up for yourself or anyone. And you'll notice that when you set up something for yourself, you'll feel an echo in the background of how your father treated you, or what it was like for you in school, or what your first resistances were to being scheduled, or being told what to do, or to being confined by some kind of a form. This is why we do these forms, so that you can, this isn't because we just enjoy chanting the sutras, it's so wonderful. I'm not saying it's not okay, but it is a mind training. It is not, we're not worshiping anything. Sir?
What is the correlation between totality awareness?
Totality is a concept that says everything, and awareness doesn't do anything. It doesn't make a statement, it doesn't look away, and it may focus on something, but anytime you look at something, you've ignored everything else. So if you're not focusing on anything, then you're probably not ignoring anything. And if you're not ignoring anything, then you won't know what is happening. And if you don't know what is happening in the conventional sense, this is called wisdom, unless there's fear, and then this is called ego. Yes, question? Yeah.
A few minutes ago, you said stress or pushing is aligned with dissatisfaction.
I do. You're taking notes.
So if there's some dissatisfaction, it seems that there is some approachable satisfaction or a standard that we're trying to reach. How do we work with those invisible standards that seem to be ever-present?
Well said. Invisible. We're all operating on invisible standards of different kinds. And we don't really even know that that is affecting us. If there's some kind of something that we've taken for granted, and then we're fighting with it, or we're agreeing with it, or we're turning away. Those are the three poisons in Buddhism. If you begin an awareness practice, the three things that you can keep in mind, you can memorize. Passion, aggression, and ignorance. Passion is the grasping part. I want it. I need more. Or the other grasping part is, I don't like that, take it away, it's too much, I've had enough of this. It's the grasping that pushes, wanting things to be different than they are, which is what the Buddha saw when he saw sickness, aging, and death, and the spiritual path. Sheldon?
I think I ignore the things that I don't want to do.
No kidding.
I think I ignore looking at
it. Yes. This is specific to you. You're a meditation student of mine, have been for a number of years. But sit more time, sit down, hold still. You don't have to formally become a Buddhist. You don't have to wear robes. It's helped me to do this, to become ordained, to become a monk. And other people, if they need that, they know it. I don't. I don't sell anything. But the one thing I do promote highly for people who are having difficulty or suffering is train your mind. I mean, some people don't want to do that. They'd rather carry picket signs and march on whatever that is over there. They want to protest or fight or argue. And not that we shouldn't be looking at those, but if you have an unexamined mind, you have hidden aggression, passion, aggression, ignorance. It's like having hidden guns loaded. You don't know it until something out there in your environment goes wham, and suddenly you got it, and suddenly you're pissed, and you might even evaluate it. Well, it's my feeling. This must be okay. It must be okay for me to You know, well, you know, and then everybody else is, you got to get on board. You got to be with us. We got to fight. We got to blah, blah, blah. Politics, propaganda. But the most dangerous form of propaganda is the propaganda that is bubbling up in your mind right now. If you're having a conversation with yourself about anything at all, passion, aggression, ignorance is probably mixed in there with that. And it's not wrong. I'm not saying everybody's wrong. I do this. This is how I know about it. I look at this mind all the time. I didn't reach some kind of state of me know everything. I haven't reached any state. Fundamentally, there isn't any state. But you have to find that. So in your situation, I would say, schedule yourself. Sit down in front of the wall. Look at the wall. Spend more time doing that. When I say make yourself do it, you know how you resist. Only you know, each person, you know how you particularly resist things. The way I resist things in such a way that I had to do this. I have to be a monk. I have no choice. Choiceless for me. I didn't sometime decide, you know, I think it'd be pretty cool to be a monk. People would really like me, or at least they'd be perplexed by me. Like, a monk. He probably knows a lot of spiritual stuff. So ego shows up in very funny ways. And I didn't want to appear egotistical, so I didn't want to be a monk. So it works both ways. So I spent many, many years resisting that until I couldn't resist it anymore. Irresistible, kind of like butter pecan ice cream. Yes.
Two questions have come in. The first one from Shane out in... He asks, do all paths lead to the same thing?
Well, kind of half and half. Some lead to liberation and some lead to hell. Don't go to hell. In other words, some path, I know what he's asking, but some paths and trajectories actually are circular. They go around, and this, you might as well be, if you're in circles and you're getting dizzy, you might as well be in a kind of personal hell. The direct path is direct. It's just that. It doesn't mean one damn thing after another necessarily. It just means that your sincerity and your wish and your desire, which was about getting more stuff for yourself and keeping away the things you don't want, getting the things you like or want, and ignoring the things you have no control over instead of passion, aggression, and ignorance. Instead, you want to see what the truth is. So if a person is on a path where they want to know the truth, they want to know what is fundamentally the truth. Not what do they call it, alternative truths. Truth, we're talking about the act. So you know it yourself, not somebody's opinion about it. So you know it. Then if you're on that path, whether it's Buddhism or whether it's Islam, whether it's any spirit, whether it's indigenous Indian, American Indian, shamanism, maybe no path at all. Maybe no actual trajectory at all. You're probably going to need some help with some kind of a form. Most forms are kind of in love with themselves, and they think they're the only way. You kind of see that in a lot of different directions. And you see it in Buddhism also. I just don't do it. I think you should do it. I think you should trust yourself. If you want me to help you, I'll help you. You say, thanks, I'm out of here. And I say, good luck. And you have done nothing wrong by ignoring what I say. And I often even say, people that come here a lot that are students of mine hear me say this, probably once a month anyway. Forget everything I said. If you can, forget it. Go do something else. Maybe this is your lifetime to just get high a lot. Maybe this is your lifetime to go into investing and make lots of money. Maybe this is your lifetime to go in circles for 8 more years and then move to Australia where you live upside down. Much, much comfortable. More blood in the head. Sorry, Vicky. Vicky's in Australia. Yes.
Kind of a follow-up from Shane, you may have already addressed it, but he asks, how is the path of awareness different from what Jesus Christ, Zoroaster, the Druids, or anyone else? Doesn't seem like fundamental sanity is a part of their practices.
Well, it can be. I think they come out of different cultures and traditions. I haven't studied those a little bit early on. but I think it's the practitioner, him or herself. If you follow follow the teachings, any wisdom tradition, I think it's possible. I think it's more difficult with the theistic one because it's very easy to get into just strong separation about lowly me and the great teacher person who is much better than me and I'll never get there kind of thing. Theism, yes.
And then a question from Brett McGinnis out in Philadelphia. He asks two questions. Why are we so resistant to forms? Why does it feel so demeaning?
But ego doesn't want to be subjected to any kind of a container. Ego wants to be free. I just got to be free, man. I got to be me. I got to be free. It's the person who is resistant to anything is anything but free. They're not free. Free is where you don't see any walls anywhere. There is no container for you because you're not separate from anything. You're not separate from the most horrible, difficult person who tortures people. I'm not saying you agree with them, but you're not separate from them. They don't get to be the evil thing that you need to fight. We want a container. We want a wall. We want a preconception around that where we can accuse them of being wrong and we're right. We don't do things like that. They do. Just like the forms in here, the sutras we chant. I can tell when a person comes in here and if they've never been here before, I'm not that I'm staring at anyone, I can tell how they relate to forms just by watching what they do. It's not by way of judging anyone. I can just see that if a person is resistant to forms, then this will be irritating to them. These forms are empty. They mean nothing. That's why they mean everything. It's a transcendent path. It is not a mundane path. When you understand that, then forms are no longer a problem. You can do any form. I could come in here, and I have. I've come in here in a cowboy suit before. I don't do it very often because I don't want to confuse my students. Yes?
How is it something that seems so powerful? Ego,
yes,
cannot exist.
It's just it non-exists because it's just if you look at the ego or the structure of the mind through sitting practice of meditation and inspect and say, who is this? What is this? Who is this person who's having feelings, emotions, ideas, opinions? Find out who it is. You sit down and look at the wall long enough, eventually the awareness is looking at the wall, listening to the birds, listening to the air conditioner, or the people moving around in the kitchen, eventually that awareness is going to want to see, who is it that's experiencing this? It's all a situation of mistaken identity, and it's just a misunderstanding. But if you understand it, it's not that you won't have stress or difficulty or aches and pains or be irritated with people or irritated with yourself. It's not that that won't happen. It's just that there's no solid self anymore. You actually understand. There's no solid here, and there's no solid there. And it's a realization, not an experience. This is an experience. What did it just do?
Fine.
Vanished. Want to hear it again? Gone again. And those are gone too. So those experiences, it's just a simplistic way of saying it, come and go. Realization of what this is doesn't go anywhere. You can't lose something that has always been there. It's when you're born, you're like this. Most people are born like this. And then at some point, if they run into the teachings, they start to train their mind. And depending on the causes and conditions that arise as this particular person, something might take them back in circles again. So they can go back into what? Existence, non-existence. Back into the body's gone, so the consciousness goes back into a different area. And so, but if you train the mind, and there's no promises or guarantees, then you see what this is. And when you see what this is, you realize you can relax. Yes?
What is it that gives experiences its power?
I think it's the opposition. You are here, and you have an identity that you think is true. It is me. And the identity, the me-ness, the ego, the self, me and my stuff, me and my ideas, me and my experiences. So it looks like the me is having an experience, but actually just experiences are having experience. There's no solid self there to have that. But you have to actually realize that yourself. I can sit here and talk about that, and it won't be convincing. Yes, sir?
What is the main fuel of ego?
Fear. Yeah. Fear. Fear of being, it happens all different kinds of levels. Fear of being exposed. Fear of being embarrassed. And ego The Yogacara tradition is called the seventh consciousness. It's a particular aspect of consciousness, which is discontinuous and all over the place. Like the sense of touch is different from this. The sense of touch can't think, but the sense of thinking thinks it can touch, and it can't. It can only think. That's why it's so confusing, because we think we smell. We don't smell. Smelling smells. Touching touches. Discontinuous. And so what happens in that identity situation, that seventh consciousness, there are four aspects to that, and it can be described lots of different ways. This is just a traditional way. This is a pride that I am somebody, and I got to look good, and if anybody criticizes me or doesn't like me or something like that, I I want to fight back. I want. You can't talk to me. You're disrespecting me. This is just horse shit. And it's all over the place. Our society is just full of this. Actual respect for someone is allowing them, when I say allow, just not, don't meddle with them. Don't interfere with them. Allow them to be who they are. Allow, I sometimes say this, and this may sound like a sad situation to you, but if somebody is determined to take their life, they're determined to take their life. I mean, not saying you shouldn't interact with them and say, you know, let's talk about this. Let's be reasonable about this. And if they're determined to do it, probably going to do it. Just like if someone wants to drink or someone wants to use drugs. So these the other four kinds of consciousness, one is the pride, and then the other one is self-delusion, is not being sure who you are, being confused constantly. And then there's a self-referral. Everything that happens is in reference to you. Everything that happens is something happens, and it's how you. Sometimes you can be talking to somebody. You can kind of detect that in a person if you say, you start talking about your dog or somebody's dog. They won't interact with you around that. They'll start talking about their dog. Yeah, I have one of those too. I have a Jack Russell Terrier. You know, it's very subtle, but you can see that you never can really have a conversation with that person. A little bit, but fundamentally, you know, might as well be in a room by yourself listening to vocal cords. Yes.
Came here about what is awareness spiritual?
The spiritual just means something that looks beyond the mundane or the everyday materialism. There's scientific materialism, spiritual materialism, trying to use spiritual or material ideas to get ahead, to have energy, to have exertion, trying to do it. And I say, as I've been taught, and we're talking about this awareness tradition, this spiritual path, that we transcend this world. And in order to transcend this world, the materialism has to be seen through, and any level has to be seen through on a personal level, the way you grasp at something else. As soon as you grasp anything or push away on anything, you create a duality that is unreal. There, if you see what this is, a warfare is over. You're never going to fight with anything again. You're not going to fight with somebody creating a war. You're not going to fight with your own mind. Your own mind is having negative things come up. You won't necessarily try to do anything with it other than be aware of it. More? Yes?
Another question from Brett. He asks, my mind wanders so much that meditation is more like daydreaming with my legs crossed. Do you think that some preliminary work is necessary?
No. Sorry to interrupt you, Brett. Go ahead.
Preliminary work is necessary to get a baseline ability to focus, such as counting the breath, etc.
Oh, maybe. You could, if it comes up to you spontaneously, maybe counting the breath, you could. But the most important thing, and I've never met Brett face-to-face, I don't think, have I? But he's been in touch with our teaching here quite a bit. I would say the most important thing is repetition. You can't just sit for 10 minutes a day or 20 minutes a day. It's not going to make a dent. You know, you might as well just be reading the menu. You'll starve to death if you use that metaphor. You've got to actually sit down and see what this is and see who and see the person who's trying to get somewhere and see where it is they're trying to get. And the important parts of this is being sincere. It's difficult to be sincere if you're basically paranoid about everything. If someone is every time, if everything somebody says is suspect with you, if you don't have enough openness, I mean, if you're in this room, you probably have quite a bit of openness, or you wouldn't be here. But don't necessarily judge or evaluate anything. Yes.
Follow up question from Brett.
Including your sitting, Brett. Just sit. Oh, he's in there, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Brett.
He asks, you often speak about not knowing what you're going to speak about before you give a talk and being okay with that.
Yeah.
You had to teach a class to school children or give a financial presentation at work. Would you prepare?
Well, certainly wouldn't prepare to talk to children. I am a children. I wouldn't do that. I would just go in and hang out with them. But I would look and see who I'm talking to. And if it was a financial report, I would have you do it. I don't know about those things. It's like mystery. It's like asking me to do open eye surgery. I know there's no sense. That's why you don't want me doing it. Yes, go ahead.
A question from Brian out in White Plains, New York. He asks, when fear arises, it sometimes is so powerful it forces me to look away or start covering it up. How can I work with this situation? Through the practice of shikantaza, will these fearful situations eventually stop dominating my awareness?
There's no guarantee, but I can say that if you don't meditate, they'll just get take over and get more and more spinning and more than likely. But if you look at them, if you look at what's happening, then there's much more of a chance, especially if you do a lot of it, of seeing what it is that you're actually doing to keep that thing spinning. It's fear. It's, you know, as long as we can just keep something moving. It's like somebody, we all know somebody, maybe you are that somebody, who every time you get a little upset about something, you clean house. I had a mother like that. Cleaned house constantly, the neatest house. Disgusting. Someone might go the other way. It might just, every time they got upset, they just take a nap. So there isn't any, but any way that you find to avoid. But we have a monastery. That's why people come. They're sincere and they're dedicated to this enough that they want to come here and live so that they can train, because it's very difficult to train the way we do here at home. If you're a householder, what happens in a house usually is, you know, washing dishes, mowing the lawn, watching TV, you know, thanking the kids. But this situation is dedicated. Not that you couldn't. We've had kids here too, but the priority is train the mind. Each person has to do this themselves. You have to sit down. You have to find out who you are. Please do that. Don't you have to join this or anything else? I have no interest in any cult of any kind. Are we at the end of our sojourn? Thank you so much. We're going to have a daily Dharma gathering pretty quick.
And I would also like to call your attention to the donation boxes in the hallway. If you value these teachings, please help support the work that we do here.
May the mirror of this penetrate into all places so that we and every sentient being together.